I will have lived next September a half a century. There are many of you who've lived much, much longer than that. I came into the world about the time we were making the transition from many of these things. For example, there were electric lights when I was a boy. We just couldn't afford them. There was running water, hot and cold running water when I was a boy. We just couldn't afford it. There were electric irons when I was a boy. We just couldn't afford one. There were bathtubs when I was a boy. We just couldn't afford one. And many of you folks don't know really what the old time days are about. And yet many of you remember such things as the old Model T Ford. Remember that? You've never been hit. Never have you been hit by the crank of a Model T Ford. Never have. I've nothing like it in the whole world. Didn't have a starter on the old Model T Ford. You got out and you stuck a, looked like a big old wrench or something inside the hole in the bottom of the radiator out in front, and you just cranked it and you started the Model T Ford that way. Many of you folks can remember the old rumble seats. Remember that? Now, you have a one-seated car, and the back of the car was a rumble seat. You pulled out, and sort of a convertible in the back, and a car had a top in the front. There are many other things. I can recall when I was a boy, in our home nothing, our little shack, we had these kerosene lamps and lanterns, and you really never have seen a dirty house until you get one of these wicks a little bit the wrong way. Let's see if I can do it on this one tonight. Well, I can or not. Yeah. Now, see, can you see that black smoke coming out of there? Now, you've never seen dirty house. You keep one of those on for a while. And I can recall my mother said a while ago, my sister, curling their hair with the old curling irons. And I can recall my mother ironing with the old flat iron and the old churn. She'd get the churn and she'd go, had a big sort of a cross on the bottom of it, a big handle, go down through a hole in this big old barrel looking thing without a crock, and up and down she'd go. And she'd sing when my mother sings. Even the Lord doesn't listen, he stops his ears. And you can understand, I'm sure, after hearing my concert tonight. But mother would sing and churn. And then after the milk got just about ready to make butter, and the butter would come, she'd reach down in the milk, and she'd get a handful of the butter, and she'd take it, and she'd take a bread wrapper. By the way, I can recall the first time they ever sliced bread. They came through the neighborhood with sliced bread. Boy, listen, that's one of the biggest things I ever saw in my life. And mother would take the old bread wrapper, and she'd take that butter, and she'd throw it down on that butter, on the bread wrapper. And then she'd get all the butter out. What was left was buttermilk. And then she'd take the butter, take her hands, and she'd mold it like that. And then she'd mold it into a little, like a half earth kind of a deal. And then she'd take her finger and lick it like that, and make a line across the top, and lick it like that, make a line across the other way, and we had butter. Now, I can recall the days when we got oleomargarine. Remember the days we used to get white oleomargarine? Huh? And we didn't have and finally they came out with color into it. Remember that? A little sack of thing about the size of a small tea bag full of yellow coloring. And you'd take that oleomargarine, put that color inside, and mother'd get her hands, and she'd go like that and glue it all up. Of course, she'd wash her hands 2 or 3 days beforehand, so it'd be clean. And then she'd do it all like that, and do it like to the butter. And usually, it was sort of a white mingled with yellow. And then she'd get her finger, lick it like that, and draw a line. Why, I don't know. And then draw another line across the top. And I remember that. I recall the old number two tub. taking a bath in old number two tub. In our house, we had Dad, then Mother, and Earlene, and me. And so we'd go out and we'd get some water out of the well, and we'd bring the water back in and put it in a pan, and then put the pan on top of the wood stove or the kerosene stove, and we'd heat the water. Then we'd pour the real hot water in the bottom of the tub, and then we'd get a bucket of water from the well, or several buckets, and we'd come and we'd pour cold water till it got just about right. Now, we all took a bath one time a week. Even if we didn't need the thing, we'd take it once a week. And we'd get in line, and Dad was first, then Mom was second, and Earlene was third, and I was fourth. You don't think we'd change water between baths? Well, of course not. Dad would bathe, and he'd get out, and Mom would get in the same tub Dad'd been in. Then she'd get out, and Earlene get in the same tub Mom and Dad had been in. And then she'd get out, and I'd look at that water. Had Earlene's dirt, and she's a dirty woman, I'm not sure. Had Earlene's dirt, had Mom's dirt, had Dad's dirt, and there I was. And I always wondered, is there more dirt on me or more dirt in that tub? But I'd get in the tub and take a bath. Now, you've never twisted your body up till you sat down inside a number two tub. You never have. Now, I can recall all those things. I can recall the first time I ever saw an indoor bathroom and a bathtub. And and I can recall the first time that I ever knew that there's a bathroom inside the house. That sounded so unsanitary to me. Have a bathroom inside the house. Then what did you have? Well, they're little light telephone booths. And some are wider than others. And some will take care of more customers than others. And we had a Sears Roebuck catalog out there. And so forth. And now, honestly, about 50 feet out there, and you have never been cold in your life until, I think I better go on down to the next thing. And, but now, now, by the way, the church we used to go to, we had two of those telephone booths out in the backyard. And we didn't have indoor facilities at all. Now, those are just a few of the things we used to do. Now, I'm not suggesting we go back to them. You remember the old ice box we used to have? Not refrigerator, ice box. Ice man come by every day, had a card. That card had a 25 on it, and a 50 on it, and a 75, and a 100. And you'd put in the window how much ice you wanted. And the ice man come by, and he'd take the ice and put it in the ice box. And the ice underneath that was another compartment, and that's where you'd have the food. Unless you couldn't afford an ice box like we were. And we had number two tub, same number two tub we bathed in. And you've never been cold in your life, so you get in a number two tub that's had ice in it all week. And we put ice inside number two tub and wrap it in a what? In a quilt. And then you'd put the milk and the butter and the things you wanted to keep cold around it in a number two tub. I'm not suggesting that. I'm not suggesting that we go back to that. I personally far prefer the modern refrigerator. I'm not suggesting we go back to these kerosene lamps and lanterns. But I'll tell you what, this kerosene, we used to call it coal oil. Coal oil when I was a kid. And Mom would say, son, go up and get a quart of coal oil. You get a quart of coal oil for a nickel. And that quart of coal oil will do anything. You cooked on the stove that the coal oil, the light, the heat provided by the coal oil. You could see by the lamps with the light provided by the coal oil. But that isn't all. If I had a... You used to have the croup years ago. Still have the croup. And when you had the croup, we didn't have a vaporizer. Or vaporizer was. We said, all you got to do is get a vaporizer and put it in a wall plug. We didn't know what a wall plug was either. In fact, at our house, we didn't know what a wall was. And my mother would come and she'd get some coal oil. she'd get a spoon of sugar. And she'd take some coal oil or kerosene and saturate or put a few drops of coal oil on the sugar. That was our penicillin back in those days. And that's what we always took when we were sick. Didn't matter what you had. If you had fallen hair or fallen arches, it didn't matter. You took coal oil. Sometimes you'd take turpentine and sugar. But the coal. Now, I'm not suggesting we go back to those days. I myself prefer the penicillin shots to the coal oil and sugar. I myself prefer the electric lights to these kerosene lamps. I myself prefer the regular irons we have nowadays to the old flat iron. I myself prefer the automatic washing machines we have to the old black pot. If you used to, you know, on washing day, you washed all day long. You take your clothes out and put them in the washer and heat the water and pour the water in there and stir them with a stick in an old black pot. I like the washers better. I like the automatic dryers we have now better than I like the hanging the clothes out on the line. But you know, the honest truth is, we lost something along the way while we were exchanging the Model T Ford for automatic shift. We lost something along the way while we were exchanging the kerosene lamp for our electric lights. And while we were exchanging the old-fashioned wood stove for central heating, we lost something along the way. I would not want to go back to those things in our churches. But I do think we ought to go back to the same gospel that they preached when they had the old kerosene lamps and lanterns. America's dying tonight. And she's dying for one thing. She desperately needs to get back to the gospel that my old pastor used to preach and that your old pastor used to preach. We call it the old-time religion. Now, what is the old-time religion? Well, to recall the old-time religion, I guess we'd have to go back to the beginning, wouldn't it? That's what old times, the oldest times would be. So I guess to be called the old-time religion, it'd have to go back to the beginning. Back to the Garden of Eden, when God made a man and he made a woman. And God gave instructions to them not to eat of one fruit of one tree in that garden. And God said, if you eat of that fruit, of that tree, you're going to die. They did eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When they ate of that tree, their eyes were open, and they knew they were sinners, and because they became aware of their sin and had reached accountability for their sins, God was separated from them and they from God. And now man is separated from his Maker. Man, whom God made for fellowship with himself, cannot fellowship with his God. Now we've got to figure out some way to get that man back to God. Now there's several things about the old-time religion that goes back to the beginning. The first thing, getting that man back to God, was based on the fact that man has sinned. Nobody can believe the old-time religion. And by the way, nobody can go to heaven either unless he knows he sinned. Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible says, we're born in iniquity. Psalm 51:5. We start off our lives speaking lies. Psalm 58:3. There's none that doeth good. Romans 3:12. And so, you've got to realize that you're a sinner. You say, "How? I don't know if I was saved back yonder. I do not know for sure if I'm really born again." The first thing you'll have to settle, did you know that you were a sinner? If you didn't know that you were a sinner, you didn't get born again. You must have an awareness that standing before God, you are a sinner. The old leather-lung preacher's false end, boy. They stomped their feet and hollered and beat the Bible and sweated and perspired as they said, turn from your sin will find you out. Those old-fashioned preachers had a hatred for wrong and iniquity and sin and evil. But you get a good old dose of realization in your soul that you're a sinner. Oh, but you say, I'm not so bad. Then go to hell. That's where not so bad people go. You say, I'm a pretty good fella. Yeah, good people all go to hell. You say then, Brother Howell, how do you go to heaven? First, you've got to realize that you're a sinner. And Adam and Eve realized they'd sinned. They were separated from God. Now, what's the second thing about the old-time religion? It's based on the fact that sin separates from God. And in the final analysis, that means that a person that dies must spend eternity separated from his God if he's not converted. You die in your sin, you got to pay for it. This lamp costs something. This Bible costs something. This microphone costs something. This pulpit costs something. This coat costs something. And sin costs something. And sin cost eternal separation from God. And that means the old-time religion says, if you're not saved when you die, you'll have to go to hell and burn forever. If I don't believe it, then you'll go to hell and not believe it, but you'll go to hell. Well, I'm a liberal, then you'll be a liberal in hell. But I've been a confession, then you'll be a confession, person in a confession in hell. Well, I was sprinkled as a baby, then you'll be a sprinkled baby in hell. I'm simply saying you've got to realize there's a price on sin. Romans 6:23 says that price is death. And that death is separation from God Almighty. Matthew 25:41 says, then should I say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all those that forget God. And three times in the ninth chapter of Mark, it says, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Revelation 14:11 says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever. Revelation 20:14-15, it says twice, it says, those not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. And what this nation needs tonight is an old, new generation of old-fashioned, hell-fire and brimstone preachers to remind our people that sin has its consequences. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There's a third thing the old-time religion was built on. The old-time religion was based on the fact that man is sin, the fact that sin separates from God. But the old-time religion was built on the fact that God must initiate the plan of reconciliation. Did you know right here is the dividing point between liberalism and truth, between truth and error? The Bible says there's nothing man can do to save himself. God has done it all. It is always the sinned against that initiates the reconciliation, not the sinner. You come to God and say, Lord, I'm a pretty good fella. Lord says, I'm sorry, it was you that sinned against me. I'll decide the terms of reconciliation. But you say, Lord, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. The Lord says, my word says nothing about that. I'll decide the terms of reconciliation. And he who was sinned against said, you've got to get born again, or you've got to go to heaven. He that was sinned against said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy hath he saved us for the washing of regeneration. The old-time religion says that God initiates the reconciliation. And then the old-time religion says, is based on the truth that salvation is by substitution and nothing else. God one day saw Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they realized they were naked. And they had sinned, and they ran from God. And God went out and got an animal, and he slew the animal, and he shed the blood of that animal. And from that animal, he made a coat for Adam. And then he made a coat likewise for Eve. And God came and said to Adam and Eve, here's a coat that'll cover your nakedness. And Adam and Eve, how'd they get their nakedness covered? By taking that coat. That's where they got it covered. That's where you get saved, too. God's dear Son died on Calvary, and when he died to give you a robe of righteousness. And God comes to you tonight and says, I'd like to give you a coat to cover your sins. You say, I know, but I'll turn over a new leaf. I'm sorry, Adam and Eve could turn over a new leaf and still been naked. But I want to do good. Well, doing good's okay once you've received the coat, but it won't cover your nakedness. But I want to get confirmed. I was confirmed when I was 12 on Easter Sunday morning. You'll die and go to hell if you don't take God's coat of righteousness. Now the old-time religion says that God made it possible for man to come back to himself. And there's no other way. There's no other way. You've got to accept the substitutionary gift of Calvary. You know, the Old Testament was built on one premise. Sin must bring forth death. Either you must die yourself or find an innocent substitute to die for you. And so the Jew would take a lamb and he would kill that lamb and place his hands on the head of that lamb whose blood was just shed, and he was on the altar and he would confess his sins and God would see his sins transferred to that lamb. And the Jew wouldn't die. Why? The lamb died in his place. In the book of John, chapter 1, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness saw Jesus coming and he shouted, "Behold! Oh, look at there! The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Jesus is the Lamb. And Jesus on the cross of Calvary took your sins and my sins and charged them to his account. And Jesus paid your penalty and mine. I'm sorry, there's no other way for you to go to heaven. But you say, "I don't like that bloody way." You go the bloody way, you go to hell. "I don't believe in being born again." You get born again, you go to hell. You have no other choice. "Yeah, you and I disagree." No, it's not you and I disagree, it's you and God disagree. Was the lips of Jesus who spoke, "Except a man be born again, he can in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." 'Twas Jesus who spoke, "Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit," or, better still, "of the fleshly birth and of the spiritual birth, you can't go to heaven." No, you've got to get born again. You've got to get born again. And unless you get, a ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light, the master made answer in words clear and plain, "You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, you must be born again." Tucked way back in the back corner tonight, way up in the corner, there's a breast beating that says, "I belong to the church, but I've never been born again." Oh, in God's dear name, admit it, admit it, admit it, admit it, and get born again in the old-fashioned way. And maybe some little child, maybe some man, thinks beyond the church years ago, or some lady, trusting something besides her Jesus and his perfect righteousness, and you've never been born again. Why don't you tonight say, "I'm not going to walk out of this service unless I have the old-time religion beating in my soul." The old-time religion, it's based on the fact that man is sin. It's based on the fact that sin separates man from God. It's based on the fact that God has had to initiate the reconciliation. It's based on the fact of substitution. And it's based on the fact of receiving that gift. Salvation is God's gift. The way you get it is receive it. The Bible likens it to getting married. You stand up and you get married. And the preacher says, "You take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife." And you say, "I do." And he says, "You take this man to be your lawful wedded husband." And you say, "I do." And the preacher says, "I now pronounce you husband and wife." Now you had a pretty dress on. That dress get you married? No, it's when you said, "I do," it got you married. You had beautiful music. Music may get you married? No, music didn't get you married. Saying, "I do," got you married. You had attendance and pretty outfit. That gets you married? No, sir. It's not the extras that get you married. It's saying, "I do," that gets you married. I think it's a good thing. Take the Lord's Supper, but that won't get you saved. It's receiving Christ that gets you saved. I think it's a good thing to get baptized after you've been born again. But it's not the baptism. No, it's being born of the Spirit of God by receiving Jesus. The Bible likens it to eating food. You sit down at the table, eat, it's yours. And salvation is yours tonight if you'll just take it like you reach out and take some food. If you tonight would realize that you're a sinner and that you're going to hell if you die like you are, and that Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the penalty for your sin. As it were, he dipped his own soul in the torment and suffered your hell. And if you'd realize that by faith in what he did and not what the preacher does. I love preachers. But not one preacher can get you to heaven by doing anything for you. Or you can go to Rome tonight and kiss the Pope's big toe if you want to, but you'll die and go to hell unless you get born again. I've often wished I had a shot at that toe. You say, you're criticizing. Yes, I'm criticizing anybody that asks folks to bow down and worship him in the place of God's dear Son. Of course I am. And I came to your church and didn't like it. Then lump it! Jesus is the only one that ought to be called the Father. Jesus is the only one that ought to have us to bow before him. Very idea of bowing before anybody. And I'll tell you one thing. You listen to that fella, and you listen to that doctrine that says, yeah, you got to confess your sins to go to heaven, or you got to go to confessional booth to go to heaven, you got to take communion to go to heaven, or the sacraments to go to heaven. And one of these days, you'll end up in your in hell cursing the fella that didn't tell you you had to get born again to go to heaven. Well, it's like taking food. It's like taking a drink of water. It's just that simple. But now there's another old-time religion. Yeah, there's another religion just as old. In fact, it's a little older than the true old-time religion. You say, what? Brother Hyles? Yes. What is it called? We call it liberalism. We call it modernism. You say, Brother Hyles, you mean that modernism is older than fundamentalism? Yes, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Because before Adam and Eve ever took the coat of skins, they tried to work their own way to heaven. They got them some fig leaves, and they made themselves aprons of fig leaves, trying to cover their nakedness. And God said, that won't do. That's an old-time religion, too. It's an older-time religion than the religion of grace, by grace through faith. They tried to work their way to heaven, but that won't do. And then you call the story of Cain and Abel in the Garden of Eden. God had told Abraham to tell his sons that when they sinned, to bring a blood sacrifice. And so on, Abel did. Abel brought one of the firstlings of his flock, and he killed it, and the blood was shed. And God saw that blood as the blood to cover the sins of Abel. And God allowed that animal to die in Abel's place. And Abel was born again. And I think Abel up in heaven is up in heaven tonight because he trusted the Lord Jesus and pictured it by the sacrifice he offered. But Cain said, not me. Not me. I got a good crop out here. I got some pretty peaches. I got some beautiful, beautiful wheat. I've got some nice oats. I'm just going to bring of my offering. And Cain brought a much prettier offering than Abel. But God didn't have respect to Cain's offering. Why? No blood, no substitute, no sacrifice. Don't you recall that night in Exodus chapter 12 when God had gathered together all of Israel and Moses had talked to all the Israelites and said, listen carefully, fathers, I want you to go home and get a lamb. I want you to kill that lamb. I want you to get a hyssop weed. Easy to find. They grow in all the yards. Get a hyssop weed and take the hyssop weed and dip it in the blood of that lamb. I want you to go out on the front of your house and I want you to smite the doorpost and lintels of your house with the blood of that lamb. Sometime during the night, on that, in Exodus chapter 12, on that night of nights, that Passover night, the death angel is going to come through. And the death angel is going to take in death the firstborn of every single person in Egypt that doesn't have the blood applied. And Moses, can you see him as he gathered all the Israelites together and said, now folks, listen carefully. Listen carefully. This is what you've got to do to live. If you don't do this, your firstborn is going to die. Listen carefully. Can you imagine how intently those fathers listened? Can you imagine how some mother said to her husband, listen carefully, honey. Moses is going to tell us how our oldest child can live. Moses said, and the first thing you do, you take a lamb. Write it down, people. Take a lamb. Write it down, Israelites. Take a lamb. Take a lamb. He said, I want you to be sure it's a male lamb and a male lamb without blemish. Now, have you got it? He said, have you got it? A lamb, a male lamb without blemish. You got it? Yes, we got it. And can you see, the mother said to her husband, now listen, honey, listen carefully, because our oldest child, our boy for whom we prayed and whom we love, his life's at stake. Or our daughter, our oldest child, our daughter, she won't be alive in a few days if you don't listen. And the father gets out whatever they used for pens in those days, and he wrote down, take a lamb, a male lamb, a lamb without blemish. And Moses said, I want you to put it up, put it up from the other, separate all the other of the flock on the 10th day of the 7th month. The 7th month in the Jewish calendar was October. And See, April, June, July, August, October. And on October, I'm sorry, April it was. April, October 10th was the Day of Atonement. And on a first month of April, I want you to put up that lamb. And I want you to keep it 4 days. Write it down, Israelites, write it down. A lamb without blemish, a male lamb. Keep it up from the 10th to the 14th. Okay, Moses said, are you listening? I want you then to take that lamb on the 14th, and I want you to kill it. And I want you to take a hyssop weed. Got it? Got it? A male lamb without blemish. So put it up on April 10th, and keep it 4 days. Then kill it. You got it? Okay, get a hyssop weed. No other weed will do. No, you can't choose your own weed. No, a branch off a tree won't do. No, a limb won't do. No, another weed won't do. No, you got to get a hyssop weed. That's God's way. And take that hyssop weed and put it on the doorpost. Oh, can you see that Jewish family gathering around the family circle? And can you see that father saying to his children, now children, there's something you've got to know. Our oldest son, maybe he was 3 years of age. Maybe he was 13, maybe 18, maybe just a little baby. But the oldest son is going to die unless we do this. Oh, can you see that father going out there into the flock and trying to get just the lamb that was the most spotless of all, the lamb without blemish, and being sure it was a male lamb and keeping it up? And can you see him on that night of nights? Can you see him as he takes the lamb and gets that hyssop weed? And can you see him outside putting the blood of that lamb on the lintel and on the doorpost? And can't you see him saying, oh, this is the only hope that my son or my child has? And can't you see the mother saying, did you get it right? Will you come out and see Mama? And the Mama goes out, and there's the blood applied up on the doorpost and on the lintels. And the mother says, oh, I hope nobody comes and erases it now. We better come out and check it several times. Be sure the blood's on the doorpost. Are you listening? It's dark at night. In the wee hours of the night, a holy hush is settled upon all of Egypt. And I hear the wings of a death angel. And that death angel comes to first house. And there's no blood applied. The death angel walks in with his smiting rod. He kills the oldest child. And there that child is lifeless in his bed. Death angel goes next door. And there's the blood applied. Oh, thank God the death angel passed by that house. And on throughout the entire land of Egypt, everywhere the blood was applied. Listen, some people were better than others. But it wasn't how good you were. It is the blood applied on the doorpost and on the lintel. Some folks had gone to church all the time, and they didn't have the blood. And their eldest died. Folks that didn't go to church at all, that put the blood on the doorpost, their eldest lived. Wait a minute. Can you picture it the next morning? Can you picture this Jewish family father getting up? And he says to his wife, I've got to go look. I've got to go look. I've got to look. He rushes inside and looks at that little bed. And there's that little fella. He's saying, good morning, Daddy. Hello, Daddy. And the father says, oh, thank God. He's alive, Mama. He's alive. He's alive. And the mother comes and hugs the father, and they hug the little boy, and the boy hugs them and kisses them, and they shout and say, glory to God. Our boy's alive. Thank God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But wait a minute. Next door, there's a family that laughed at those old fundamentalists. Hey, what you doing, neighbor? Well, Moses told us that we ought to get a lamb. Said God said do it. Yeah, you better go down the house of this church. Yeah, yeah. That First Baptist crowd. Yeah. Well, I know, but said Moses said it, and he's God's man. And God told Moses, so Moses said, I don't believe all that stuff. Okay, but I do. And he gets that lamb, and here comes a certain day that he begins to kill the lamb. What you doing, neighbor? I'm killing the lamb. God told me to do it. God told Moses. Moses told us. And he laughs and makes fun. Yeah, I don't believe all that. Well, we go to church. We're not bad. We pay our debts. We're as good as anybody else. And you die and go to hell unless you put the lamb, have the blood applied. And so that they go to bed at night. And maybe the little boy in that family says, Daddy, did you know what they're doing next door? And the daddy says, what, son? And the little boy says, next door, says, Johnny's daddy over there has had a lamb up for 4 days. And Johnny told me that I was going to die tonight if I didn't have a lamb. And Johnny's daddy took that lamb a while ago, and he killed it. And I was noticing Johnny's daddy went out in front and put some blood up on the doorpost and the lintels. Daddy, aren't I your oldest? Yes, you are, son. Daddy, am I going to die tonight? No, son. Johnny's daddy is not very smart. He hadn't been to Harvard or Princeton or the University of Jerusalem. And he's not very smart. Now, Johnny, don't you worry. We're as good as they are. We pay our debts, and we are good neighbors, and we even take food to folks who are sick, and we even help out and help out the offering for those who lose loved ones. Don't you worry, Johnny. But, Daddy, what harm would it do? Would it hurt anything if you just took a lamb and went out and put the blood on the front door? Now, son, you go to sleep. But don't you talk back to me. Go to sleep. He goes to bed, maybe whimpers himself to sleep. Man goes to bed and says to his wife, I'm afraid we all move out of this neighborhood. Our boy's been affected with those fundamentalist folks next door. He's listening to all that stuff. Well, you know what? He went down to the synagogue the other day on a big day they had, give out free bubble gum at the synagogue, and Peter swallowed a goldfish down there. I'm sorry, Moses did. Peter wasn't there then. And I'm afraid our boy is going to be affected by that. We've been not letting him ride one of those buses anymore. Yeah, he's going to be affected by it, bless God, and get saved and go to heaven if you'll leave him alone. They go off to sleep. Alarm goes off in the morning, or they wake up in the morning. Well, I guess I better go get the baby ready, says the mother. Check the baby. Mother goes into the bedroom. She pulls the cover back. Oh! Oh! My baby! My baby! My baby! My baby's dead! She rushes in, wakes up the father. Oh, baby's dead. The baby's dead! He's dead! He's dead! The father looks at the lifeless form of that little boy that begged him last night to put the blood on the doorpost. Bends over his little body and heaves and sighs. This happened all over Egypt that night, that morning. All over Egypt. He says, how do you know? Because I'm a dad and I know. I know. Oh, the little boy is gone. He's gone. And the father says, I wish I'd listened to my neighbor. Oh, he tried to tell me last night. He told me what they're doing next door. Why did I listen? It's too late! It's too late! The death angel's already come. And one of these nights, the death angel's going to come to your place too. You know, all over America tonight, Dr. Jack Hiles is dead. That's right. In the minds of millions of people right now in America, I'm dead. A rumor has spread today all over this nation that I was killed in a car wreck. And calls have come here from all over America that Dr. Jack Hiles is dead. Now, thank God I'm still alive, but wait a minute. One of these days, the news won't be a rumor. One of these days, it'll be true. And some of you will already be in heaven, and some of you will be left. And you'll hear the news. I want to tell you something tonight, folks. I don't want to die. I love to live. And I want to go to heaven, but I'd like to go the Undertaker route rather than Undertaker route. But don't you fret about me when I'm gone. Because back yonder, 38 years ago in a little poor church outside on a Sunday evening behind the church in an outdoor service. I took the hyssop of faith and dipped it in the precious blood of God's dear Lamb and sprinkled that blood on the doorpost of my heart. And when that death angel comes over, whether it's in a car wreck, as the rumor is now, or a plane crash, or a heart attack, or long lingering illness after a siege of cancer, or some other way, the blood is there. The blood is on my heart just as surely as it was on the doorpost of those Israelite homes. How about you? Huh? How about you? There are two old-time religions. One is the one that says, I can make it myself. And the other is the one that says, no, I can't make it. I've got to come to Jesus. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweet refrain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Yes? Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It'll do when I'm dying. It will do when I'm dying. It will do when I'm dying. It's good enough for me. It can take us all to heaven. It can take us all to heaven. It can take us all to heaven. It's good enough for me. It's good for Paul and Silas. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good in the fire furnace. And it's good enough for me. And by the way, it's good enough for you too. And may I say to some of you who think you're a little above this, you're not too good for it. I got a PhD. Okay, you'll be a PhD in hell if you don't get born again. But for the house, I'm a millionaire. See me after service. But you go to hell if you don't get born again. I've said this many times. Suppose I went down to the mayor's office. Mayor Raskowski, when he takes office, I walked in. Said, I want some power in this town. He said, why? I said, look what I got. 10 buckets of asphalt. He says, what, Reverend? Look at the asphalt. 10 buckets of it. I got 10 buckets of concrete, too. And the mayor says, are you going crazy? I said, I want to have some power in this town. I want to help run this town. I've got the biggest asphalt and concrete company in this town. He says, what are you talking about? We pave the streets here in Hammond with asphalt and concrete. That doesn't give you any authority. Yeah. And you folks trying to buy your way to heaven and buy influence in this church, in my hometown, they pave the streets, that golden stuff that you think is your authority and influence. No, you've got to get born again. Say, I'm a preacher. You better get born again. I'll close with this. Several years ago, I was preaching in Kansas City, Missouri. Dr. Walter Wilson was on his deathbed at the time. He died a few days later. He called the office of the church and asked the pastor if he'd bring me over and would come over and have lunch with him. Old Dr. Wilson, one of the great soul winners of this century. We went over and had lunch with him. And after lunch, I sat there as old Dr. Wilson expounded the scriptures for a while. And Dr. Wilson told me a story I'll never forget. He said, Dr. Hiles, do you know a certain preacher? And I said, yes, he's dead now. If I called his name, everybody in this room would know it. I won't call it. But if I called his name, everybody in this room that has been a Christian for any length of time would know it. Famous old preacher. He's gone now. He said, a few years ago, that old preacher died. Dr. Hiles, he called me to his bedside. And I went to his bedside to watch him go to heaven. But he said, when I got to his bedside, the old preacher looked up at me and said, Walter, I'm burning. I'm burning. I'm burning.
Walter, I'm burning.
And I looked at him. Old Dr. Wilson said, I called him by name and said, can you see heaven?
No, I can see hell. I'm burning. I'm burning. I'm burning. I'm burning. I'm burning. I'm going to hell, Walter. I'm going to hell.
Walter called him by name. Dr. Wilson called him by name. Oh, no. You've been an evangelist and a preacher for many, many years. A famous preacher. And the old preacher looked up and said, I know it, but I haven't been born again. I preached it, but I never got it. I told folks about it, but I never had it. Walter, I'm not born again. I'm going to hell. I'm burning. Get me out of the fire. I'm burning. Dr. Wilson said, I saw one of America's great preachers die and go to hell. Have you been born again? That's what the old-time religion is all about. It will do when you're dying, and nothing else will. It won't matter then if you had a Cadillac or a Model T. It won't matter then if you had a chandelier like these or a kerosene lamp like this. It won't matter then if you had your ice in a number two tub, or you had a beautiful refrigerator with an automatic ice maker. Won't matter then. Only thing that'll matter when they come down and by and view your body, and a few people sniffle a bit and some turn their heads because they don't want to see death, all that'll matter, were you born again? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let us pray. Now tonight I want you to draw a little circle around yourself. I don't want you to think about your neighbor. I want you to think about yourself. No, I can't see you. It's darker out there than it is up here, and I can't see you. But God sees you right now through the darkness of this room. And God knows whether you've been born again or not. Have you been born again? If you died this very moment, would you go to heaven? I wonder who would say tonight, Brother Hiles, I know, blessed be God, I'm as sure as I am of my name, that if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I know that. I'll sing it. I'll tell it wherever I go. I want all to hear it. I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow, for I have been born again. And I know it. If I dropped over or slumped over in my seat this moment, I'd be in heaven before you got to me. If you know that you're born again and you're going to heaven when you die, would you lift your hand? Don't you lie. God might kill you. You can put your hands down. Now there were dozens and dozens and dozens whose hands were not raised. Would you be that honest again? Would you be honest enough to say, Brother Hiles, I do not know that I'm saved. I do not know that if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I do not know that I've been born again. But I wish I did. I want to go to heaven. God knows I do. But I don't know that I'm ready. Brother Hiles, pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, way up high so I can see it and keep it up. God bless you, little lady. Who else? Way up high. You don't know you're born again, but you wish you did. God bless you. Lift it way up high. God bless you back in the back. Lift it way up high. God bless you over here on my left. God bless you. Yes, 1, 2, 3 over here. God bless you. Who else would say, pray for me? Yes, God bless you back here. I see you. And God bless you in the balcony up here. Over here. Yes, God bless you. I see you. Who else? Anywhere in the house. You have to leave it up now because it'll take a while for us to see you. You don't know that your name is there, but you sit in the house. I'm a preacher. You got to get born. Yes, God bless you. I see you. You got to get born again. Well, I'm a student at Hiles Anderson College. Yeah, but you got to get born again. But I'm a teacher in a Christian school. God bless you. Yeah, but you got to get born again. God bless you over here. Yes, 1, 2, 3. Yes, who else? Yes, over here on my right. God bless you. Who else? Who else? Raise your hand way up high. God bless you. Who else? Quickly, would you lift it? Leave it up till we can see you. It'll take a while, but we'll see you. You don't know. Yes, God bless you there in the middle. God bless you. Yes, and God bless you way back in the back near the cave on my left. God bless you. I see you. You say, well, the house, I don't want to be a Baptist. You don't have to be a Baptist. The death angel didn't pass over the Baptist, passed over those that had the blood applied. Who else would say, pray for me? I don't know that I'm born again, but I wish I did. Would you lift your hand way up high? God bless you in the balcony. Who else? Way up high. As we scan the crowd, God bless you over here on my left in the front. Yes, I see you. But you say, preacher, I'm a deacon here. Didn't ask you that. Ask you if you're born again. But I'm on the staff. Didn't ask you that. Ask you if you're born again. But I'm in the choir. Doesn't matter. Are you born again? But I'm an usher. Doesn't matter. Are you born again? But I teach at Howells Anderson College or Hammond Baptist High School or Grade School. Doesn't matter. Are you born again? Are you born again? Be a lot better to admit it right now than stand before God and let the whole, the entire world and all the generations that ever lived see you naked before God, holding your own fig leaves and holding your own oats and wheat and a little apple or something and no blood. You better get that blood applied before that death angel passes over. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Right where you are. Right where you are, would you just say this prayer to God silently now? Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that my sin has separated me from you. Say it. And I know that Jesus was my Lamb who shed his blood for me. And I do now receive him as my Lord and my Savior. If you mean that, that's all you have to do.